Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to continue to try to answer St. Paul's challenging question to each one of us from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, where he says, "Do you not realize that Jesus dwells in you?" In that context, he's challenging the brothers and sisters of Corinth to test their faith. And he said the way to test their faith is to ask yourself the question, first and foremost, do you know that Christ lives in you? Because our faith is not just propositions, it's not just truths that have been passed down, but it's a living reality. It's rooted in a relationship with a person, with Jesus. And that relationship is one in which God himself has come to make his home in us and deal with the core problem of each one of our lives, which is that we have sin-sick hearts, that we're in need of the power of God to give us a new capacity to see him, to understand him, to find in God our identity, to be able to experience his love in a way that transforms, and in the way we've been talking about all week long, just quoting the Psalms or the apostles talking about, in the words of Jesus himself, saying that I've come to give you joy to the full. I've come to give you life to the full. King David in Psalm 16 saying, "In your presence, Lord, is the fullness of joy." I mean, how many human beings on the planet actually know that? Think about it. Have experienced that in some way. As he said, "In your right hand are pleasures forevermore." As I said yesterday, the whole world, human beings everywhere are pursuing pleasure of some kind. We do things because they're pleasurable, and we have this built into us, a desire for pleasure, and that pleasure to be fulfilled, but it's meant ultimately to be fulfilled in a person, in God, in Christ. This is why one of the real negative outcomes of the trial the church is going through, the exposing of the sin and the corruption, really, in parts of the church, members of the church, it makes it difficult for people looking at the church to say, wow, there's fullness of joy there, or there's pleasures forevermore there. They're not drawn to it. This is why Jesus is purifying the church, because these truths that the apostles are talking to us about, the reality of Christ dwelling in us, and the consequences or the possibilities that come from human hearts that say yes to that gift, and with honesty and humility just say, "Lord, I want you. I want to seek you first," as Jesus called us to do. "I want everything that you intended me to have in this gift of the Holy Spirit you gave me in baptism and the indwelling of your Spirit in my life. I want it. And I want these pleasures, Lord. I want the pleasures that come from your hand. I'm done drinking from the dirty water that comes from the wells of the world that always leaves me parched and unsatisfied. And in some areas, it leaves me worse off than I was when I pursued it, thinking it would provide some good for me. Help me, Lord." And it's that heart. Jesus said, if you seek, if you knock, if you hunger, if you thirst, he's going to give it to you. And Paul, in exhorting the brothers and sisters in Corinth, he's trying to awaken that kind of desire for God, that awareness. He's saying, you're struggling with sin, you're falling, you have divisions among yourselves, you're yielding to accusations of the enemy, you're falling into false identities, you're under condemnation or rejection and things like this. And so Paul is saying, hold on a minute. To deal with all this constellation of struggle and difficulty, the first place you have to begin is to remember who you are in baptism. What happened to you? Who are you now? And at the core of who you are is the reality that God in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has made his home in you. And the new thing that God is doing on the earth, the new thing that God is doing for the human race, rescuing us in love through his Son, the new thing that God is doing that's revealed in the total freedom and glory and majesty of Jesus, that reality is happening in us. So St. Paul will say, you know, he's leading us to one degree of glory to the next, or he's leading us to freedom and ever deeper freedom. And Paul's exhorting the Corinthians to say, are you experiencing those things? Are you really experiencing the love of God and the awareness that you are a beloved child of God? Are you really experiencing that you're forgiven? That God forgives you? In baptism, when you repent in confession, everything is put away. And he sees you now in Jesus. He sees you now as he sees Jesus. So Jesus tells us the very love that the Father had for the Son for all eternity, the Father has for you. We were made, as I said yesterday, out of the love, the creative love between the Father and the Son. And all things were made through Jesus. All things were made for Jesus. Did you know that? You are made for Jesus. That's it. That's God's plan from all eternity. And Jesus wants to give you, and he says it here in chapter 17, he wants to give everything that belongs to him to each one of us. And he says, Father, I want them to be with me where I am. And I want them to see my glory. And he's saying he wants us to share in his glory and to be with him forever. This is the pleasure. This is the superior pleasure of all other pleasures, and the one that your heart and mine seeks, and the one the devil wants to blind us to mask, to make it impossible for us to see it, and to get caught up and to get enslaved to false, to idols that wave to us and say, come, I've got pleasure for you. I'll fulfill that desire in your heart, the desire for power, for identity, for ego, for pleasure, whatever it is, I'll give it to you. Just like the devil did with Jesus in the desert, when he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and showed him the whole world, the kingdoms of the world, all the glitter, all the gold, all the pomp, all the importance, all the power, all the moving and shaking. And he said, it's yours. You can have it all. You can literally have it all. But all you need to do is bow down and worship me. That was the devil's temptation to Jesus in the desert. It's exactly what he wants you to do and me to do. And how he does it, he knows our fallen condition, and he's constantly serving up idols and objects of pleasure and goals and things that are inconsistent with God's purposes that we think are actually going to satisfy us. That they'll give us the sense of identity or importance or significance or pleasure or peace, whatever it is we're seeking, that they will give us those things and we run after them. And we don't realize what Slewfoot is doing is he's drawing us and he's seducing us. He's trying to trap us so he can cripple us, he can bind us, he can dominate us, and in the end, he can force us to bend the knee to him. Human beings are the gold and the treasure on this earth. It's what the devil's in pursuit of. It's what the Son of God is in pursuit of. And the devil hates God. He resents Christ. And the way he attempts to wound God, he can't hurt God. Ultimately, God is infinitely greater than the devil. I mean, infinitely greater. Jesus is absolutely indestructible in his power and life. But the devil knows what he wants to do is he wants to try to wound God by destroying what he most loves, his children. And Jesus has come to give to the Father the family that belongs to him. That's each one of us. Jesus comes to give us clarity of the true value of our lives. And this is something we want to know. Is my life worth anything? Am I of any value? Be honest with yourself. How often do you doubt your life is worth anything? How often do you hear the tapes in your head, you're no good? How could anybody ever love you? Your life is meaningless. Look around, compare yourself to everybody else. Pretty much everybody else is better than you in one way or another. Or you're on the other side of that, where you look down on everyone and say, I'm better than everybody, but you're still not satisfied in your heart. I mean, you may have an amazing number of distractions that you've lined up in your life and people and situations to reinforce for you that you're better. But you know in your heart that that will never satisfy. What your heart longs for is what Jesus is praying for in this prayer in John chapter 17. Father, I want them to have what I have. I want them to be with me. And what I have, Father, is you. And there's nothing as beautiful as your creation is, your cosmos is, and there's nothing like you. You're the source of everything that is good, that is loving, that is wonderful, that is free. I mean, all these things that we think about, that we pursue, freedom, love, goodness, peace, joy, all that, those things come from God. They don't exist apart from God. And to the degree that we touch them here on earth, we're experiencing a touch of God. And Jesus is saying to us, trust me. Let me heal you. Let me take your sin and crucify it on my cross. Let me cleanse you with my blood. Let me bring you into the forgiveness and the love of my Father so you can have everything that my Father destined for you. And here's Jesus' passion. He's got a passion to give to the Father what belongs to the Father and to see the Father's heart rejoice in you and in me and all those that he's made of every race, tribe, and tongue come into his love. That's not just a wild, crazy dream. It's real. And so the apostles will say things to us like, beloved, beloved, we're God's children now. You are the beloved of God. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is the difference maker in this Christian life. It's the Spirit who speaks to our spirit and convinces us deep in the core of our being that we are loved by God and that God is our Father. We're not alone. We're not alienated. Our future is not doomed to some kind of fatalistic end. God's plans for you are good. And Jesus has come to give it to you. And the key, friends, is to live in the Spirit, to live in God's Word, to live in His church, to take advantage of the graces and get into His mission and find your assignment and align yourself with Him and walk with the brethren who are alive in the Lord and watch God change the lens through which you see yourself and all of reality. I just want to remind you, friends, at the end of the program here, I'm going to offer Ralph Martin's excellent booklet, What Happens When I Die, for free. You can call the 800 number or just get on the website and click on the button there or the tab on the website. We'll send it right out to you. One thing for sure is we're all going to die. And one thing for sure is we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what's going to happen in that moment? What's going to happen when I die? Ralph's very helpful and very specific, and the Lord wants you and me to have peace in our hearts and a great sense of anticipation as we approach that day. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.